fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Wake up and learn something new every day. Class is in session. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hi, it's 5:30. Brady and Walker, Greg Brady, Andrew Walker. It is April 16th on a Wednesday morning, and it begins in 13 and a half hours, the odyssey known as the Stanley Cup playoffs, which will see hockey on your television, and us yokels talking about it for probably, Andrew, what, 46 of the next 56 nights, something like that.
And round one, or the next 2 weeks, is, it's a lot like the round is 64 in March Madness, right? I mean, it comes out with a bang, and everybody's into it. Everybody's still alive in their playoff pool, if you're in one of those. And I would say, you know, the first round and then the Stanley Cup final is the big ticket, the big item when it comes to the playoffs. And yeah, some people get lost a little bit in the middle if your team is not in it. I understand.
Three games tonight. Four games tomorrow, three games Friday, and then Saturday. Only three Saturday, and then Sunday is four. So they kind of have staggered it to the point where you're not going to get five games out of the eight on a given day, but you really are rolling from noon starts on Saturday and Sunday, and then 10 o'clock starts to finish it up. So that's your solid 13 hours of viewing right there.
Yeah, and my favorite part is the overreaction, because Montreal will win in Tampa tonight, and then what's wrong with the Lightning? Can Ben Bishop, too much. The Lightning won't be able to win now.
Although there was the one, I want to say it was, I don't think it was the 11 year, because Vancouver and Boston both held their seeding, but it was either 10, and it happened a lot with seeds like Edmonton getting through to the final, and Carolina was, I want to say, a 5 the year they went 0-6, but there have been a couple of years post-lockout where more road teams have won series than home teams, which is incredible. Well, there's 15 series.
Well, I think it was that Edmonton year, 06, where it was 5, 6, 7, and 8 met in the semifinals.
Like even last year, 5 of the 8 underdogs. Now some wouldn't have been underdogs. St. Louis, LA probably wasn't an underdog, but either way, 5 of the 8 road teams to start game one won the series, and then all the home teams won the next round in the semifinals.
If we've learned anything about the NHL playoffs, is that if you were to go to Vegas today and take in round one, the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seed from each conference and parlay them, you're not going to win.
Kiss your money goodbye.
You're not going to win.
No.
There's always upsets.
Yeah.
Always upsets. Maybe only one, maybe only two. But there's going to be upsets. It's just a matter of picking where. And yeah, some of these series, L.A., San Jose, St. Louis, Chicago. Two of these teams are going to be out. We're probably not going to be talking about any of them being upset, right? The Kings are the lower seed. They start on the road in San Jose. Is it an upset if they beat San Jose? Probably not. I mean, I'm picking the Sharks.
What's a shocking series result? Is Minnesota over Colorado? Well, it has to be a shock based on how the last 82 games have gone.
I'm picking Minnesota in that series. That's my pick in that game. So I can't sit
here
and
say you'd be shocked, right?
But I think there's two series that most people would be shocked by, and that's Columbus over Pittsburgh, and it would be Detroit over Boston.
Detroit Boston, kind of shocking, or
I think most people.
Yeah, I do too,
and not because it's Detroit, because it's Boston, right? People get a lot of respect for Boston in the East right now, more than Pittsburgh, more than anybody else. I think. Most people's playoff bracket is Boston against, whatever your flavor of the week is in the West.
The year I'm thinking of is 2 years ago, the New Jersey-LA final. New Jersey was a 6 seed. LA was an 8.
Right.
And in that year, eight of the 15 series were won by the lower seed. New Jersey obviously rolled through everybody and won 3 series. LA won 4. You had Boston was a 2. They went down to Washington. Florida was a 3. They went down to New Jersey. So, and Vancouver, obviously the President's Trophy winner, lost to the eventual Stanley Cup champs. Maybe more shocking, next round, everyone liked St. Louis against L.A., and L.A. swept St. Louis. So a lot of pressure on some teams as we've talked about, whether it's the Blues, the Sharks. There are certainly teams playing with house money coming in. I don't even know that Colorado is now. I think the expectation now has to be in Denver, win a round and get to play either St. Louis or Chicago. Losing to Minnesota now gives their fans a disappointing season, 112-point disappointing season after drafting first last year.
Yeah.
Close to it.
That's a tricky one because nobody expected Colorado to be where they are, but they are where they are.
You've set the table for success, yeah.
You have arguably a Vezina winner right now in Semyon Varlamov. It's a young team. Either way, though, I mean, win a round or lose in four, Colorado's going to be better, I think, for this experience. No Matt Duchene, don't forget.
Yeah.
They're going to be better for this experience. And, I mean, do we really think that the Avalanche in 5, 6, 7 years, you know, guys are exiting town with no cups between MacKinnon and Duchene and Landeskog? I don't think so.
I know.
Those guys retiring with no Stanley Cups, are you kidding me?
Is Taylor Hall going to play the next 8 years in Edmonton and not be part of some success, right? You know? They had an unsuccessful night last night, Edmonton. They didn't win the draft lottery. They suck. Florida jumped up to get the number one pick. We'll talk more about that. Plus the first place Blue Jays, who got some late inning offense to salvage things in a very cold game in Minnesota. But their first place this morning with an 8-6 record, right back at it tonight for a night game. Again, they may as well move it up because it doesn't get any warmer over the course of the day. We found that out yesterday. It's Brady and Walker. Now and then coming up as well for April 16th, it's Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Trending now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Is that the last we see of Randy Carlyle in Leafland? The Raps tip off in New York with a chance to clinch the 3 seed. And Kawasaki returns. Jays win. Coincidence?
Thank you very much.
And that's what's trending now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Everything you're talking about, they're talking about. Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Ground ball it is, out to second, taken by Kawasaki, go to second, one, back to first, call it two, a game-ending double play, ball game, Blue Jays, as they come back for the first time all year, down 2-0 early in the game to beat Minnesota 9-3.
Jerry Howarth called it with Joe Siddall last night at Target Field in Minnesota. By the way, get to your local Target a little more, Canada. I go to Target so often, and I never see enough people there. I don't have to wait in line. Great service. It's better than Zeller's ever was. So I don't want them to go away.
We're in Detroit for the Winter Classic. Detroit / Ann Arbor. Me, Greg, and our producer, Ryan Fabro. So it's New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And what you do on New Year's Eve is you go out for dinner and drinks. So you drink until you can't feel feelings anymore.
But we did that.
Yeah. After we had to go on your shopping trip to make you happy. On New Year's Eve, we're in Target buying coffee makers and Long Johns.
Who bought the coffee maker?
I did because we were there, but...
Because
it was a deal I couldn't pass up.
I bought a bedroom television and thought I'd save a couple $100. I'm sure I gave the extra couple hundred to charity. and I was worried about how cold it was going to be. We didn't know where we were going to be broadcast from. Be set up at Michigan Stadium. We didn't bring snow pants.
I purchased. Yeah, and then we weren't even outside. I used my savings to purchase a block of porn in the hotel room. It's the best value. Get the whole 24-hour package.
I don't think that's true. Reimbursed for it.
It's the best value.
It probably is the best value. So, but speaking of cold, last night, Blue Jays get the win at Target Field. And a game where, Brandon Morrow leaves early. Look, ridiculously cold. They postponed four games in Baltimore, New York, Philly, and Detroit. And you'd think it'd be colder in Minnesota than it would be in those locales. They played at Comiskey, where it was freezing. They played in Cincy, where it was like 32 degrees. And they played in Minnesota. But the Bats came alive, 5-run 6th, 4-run 9th, and just turned out to be a laugher in the end after they went down 2-0. And Phil Hughes, who's actually not got a bad track record against the Blue Jays. I looked it up yesterday afternoon.
I thought he did have a bad track record against the Blue Jays.
No, at home.
He hasn't won in 17 starts. He's a bad track record against everybody. What are you talking
about?
Well,
that's got some accuracy to it. I've seen him pitch well in person against the Blue Jays. Maybe I'm referencing that, but I did look up his splits against Toronto. I'll give you them before now and then.
All right.
But anyway.
I don't think they're that good.
Was he rolling nicely through four or five innings? I thought so, right?
Maybe. Jay said the leadoff man on in each of the first four innings. It felt like a matter of time before they got to Phil Hughes. And then in the sixth inning, he didn't register an out. So the Jays put up five, and four of those were attributed to Hughes. The cold was a big story, though, right? Because you don't know who adjusts to it, right? Who's sitting there in the batter's box waiting for the game to end? Which pitcher doesn't want to be in the game? And I mean, Brandon Morrow, he got into this is the worry, right? Because Adam Lind last night leaves with some back tightness. How much of that is because of the cold? And in a game like that, like, weren't you sitting there terrified for Brandon Morrow?
Oh, sure.
You know?
Absolutely. It was more because he was staying in or because he'd gotten knocked.
No, I think I wasn't.
He was throwing so many pitches early.
Yeah. I mean, he gave up two runs and he's sitting there in the fourth inning and he gets lifted. Now, if it's in the Rogers Center, John Gibbons lets him try to get out of it.
Yeah.
Right? But when your pitch count is hovering closer to 100, you know, you're not caring about saving the bullpen when it's fully rested. You just don't want Brandon Morrow to pull his arm because the weather is so weird.
No, and for middle relievers, Aaron Loop had to come in very early, earlier than you would have expected in a game like that, and was effective. I was joking at the time, and I remember mentioning somebody, Kawasaki could be the offensive hero of this game, but his double got it started in the fifth inning.
Yeah, the leadoff double.
Can't
and then,
be denied.
And then a red-hot Jose Bautista drives him in. They really just rolled from that point on.
Now, I couldn't recognize Jose Bautista. I thought the muffler, I mean, I guess he could see through it. It was a little much. I'm sure it was that cold. Some guys were out there with sleeves. Like, Morrow was wearing sleeves. Phil Hughes was going. He's a guy from Southern California, and he's sleeveless.
Yeah, Brett Laurie's Canadian, and Brett Laurie had more covering than Phil Hughes did.
Yeah.
Didn't make any
sense. Phil Hughes.
What a night for everybody to wear 42, though. You couldn't tell anybody apart.
That's the problem, yeah. Can't see their faces because they're hidden behind mufflers. All right, fine. 486 career ERA against the Jays. You win.
Yes.
Not as good as
I know, exactly.
But he has a 4.95 ERA. He's better than average.
I went to a game at the Rogers Center last fall, and it was a death march for the Blue Jays, and they still hit like 9 home runs off Phil Hughes.
I swear I was at 1-10 where he was nasty. So, like Janet Jackson nasty. He was very good. 5-6, 4.55 ERA.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not great.
Fine. So they'll go at it again tonight, probably just as cold and Brett Laurie, we should mention as well. Grand slam, 5 RBI on the night, and it was his only hit. He's only hitting 132, but time after time, he's having better cuts at the plate.
Yeah, and thank you for not saying RBIs.
I don't do that.
I appreciate that.
Are you, I didn't know.
Everybody says RBIs.
I didn't know if you're oldish school, and I used to say RBI.
It's not runs batted ins. It's just not.
Just can't be. I'm glad you're a stickler for something like that.
Yeah. No, I am.
So, yeah, 6 Jays combine and get it done that way.
31 hits, though, in the last 2 games. Yeah, that breakout game Sunday in Baltimore, it's amazing to see. Boy, if you were scuffling at the plate a little bit, all of a sudden everybody's average is looking a whole lot better. Encarnacion's up over 240 now.
Yeah. So they're still on the road after this particular series and then homestand next week, but it's right there for them. And
a big one for R.A. Dickey tonight.
Yeah, it is, isn't
right?
it?
Right? Like one
more start of the
he's
year.
He's your ace. You're 1-2. We'll look past it that you blew it against Houston. Like, that's a game you got to win. And now you get the Twins again. I don't know what that cold weather does to the knuckleball. I'm sure, you know, in the pregame, they'll talk about it and Greg Zahn will break down what it does. But this is a game that R.A. Dickey needs to come out and win for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and he gets it against a softer lineup than he'd face if he pitched in Cleveland Friday, Saturday, Sunday, where games are 2-day games this weekend, Saturday, Sunday in Cleveland, and, of course, the Friday nighter before their home against Baltimore Tuesday night. 5:50. It's -6 right now. We're up to, I have 4 degrees today. We won't see double digits again until Friday afternoon, but we will get there. It's a matter of time. Let's do Now and Then for April 16th.
Now and Then. A hopefully but potentially not entertaining look back at some of the great and not so great moments in this day's history. I'll be back in
time. Ryan Faber, our producer in. Used to host a fantasy show, kind of made it the entity it is today. Like, you could you could sell that show to another station, but you probably knew that about Phil Hughes, that the Jays had some modicum of success against him in his career.
I'm trying to think. I've avoided Phil Hughes for many years in fantasy.
I think he's terrible.
I didn't say anybody wants to own him in fantasy, but
that,
either way.
That said, I thought he was going to have a bounce back here in that park in Minnesota. So I'm not writing him off, but I wouldn't touch him.
What did you purchase in our New Year's Eve shopping trip at Target?
Nothing. I shook my head and wondered what the hell we were doing there.
How's your coffee maker working out? It's been 4 months now.
You were buying coffee machines. He was buying TVs.
I bought it because we were there. I didn't want to go there.
And I was staring at Twitter on my phone wondering what's wrong with my life.
But it's cooler to buy a TV when you're hanging out with guys at Target than a coffee maker. Can't do that.
You guys are losers. Especially you.
I want to lie on some bed sheets. Maybe an ottoman.
No. April 16th, stuff on this date. Let's go back into time. Great year, 1935.
Kind of the whole point of it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's kind of what we do in this segment.
It's my segment. Babe Ruth plays his
prime. Let's go ahead in time.
First NL game for the Boston Braves. He hit a home run.
Oh, shocker.
Yeah. Okay. And so there you go.
Was he pitching in that game too?
I don't know.
Might have been.
Speaking of pitching, in 1941, Bob Feller throws his first no-hitter.
Two pianos going at the same time?
On opening day of the baseball season. That's something. So there you go. A little baseball history for you in this day and a little piano music as well. Right?
Can't beat that with a stick.
You can. Okay, let's jump ahead to 1991 when Brady was in his heyday.
Love. Yeah.
No, he doesn't like the 90s. He was depressed in 91.
Yeah, grunge came in and I was kind of... Yeah.
I don't like Pearl Jam.
Not enough
Where's
keyboards.
Where's Bananarama?
The Blues become the eighth team to come back from 3-1 down with a win over the Detroit Red Wings.
Don't remind me of that series.
Yeah, go.
Fedorov's rookie year. It was disgusting.
So trivia time. Trivia time. Not about the Red Wings because who cares. Which defenseman finished third in St. Louis Blues scoring that season? He was behind Hall and Oates.
Jeff Brown?
That's correct. Jeff Brown.
Oh, wow. Nicely done.
Nobody remembers Jeff Brown, but you do.
Yeah. We interviewed him when the Canucks made their big run a few years ago.
Oh, the Canucks.
It was an ex-Red Wings. 94 Canucks.
There you go. That's
Pistons.
True.
Narrow it down.
I'm pretty sure Jeff Brown played for the Leafs at some point in the 90s.
He did.
Like, what?
The year?
I don't... Like, 96?
Forgive me, but was he the one with the mustache?
No, he wasn't, and that
was Mike Brown.
Not
2 years ago.
Anyway. A year before that, Dr. Kevorkian was assisting people with his first suicide.
How do you guys feel about euthanasia? I don't mean for me right now. I mean, like, you know, it's a tricky dilemma. I have all four of my parents and in-laws still around, and... Everybody's in good health, so I don't have to make calls like that. But I'm ready to do it.
Let's not answer that question.
Why not? I don't see the big deal.
I don't know.
Deal.
I'm against it. I don't know.
Oh, I'm not against it, so I'm asking. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I just make bad jokes in the segment, so I'm just going to leave that one.
I always thought euthanasia was like young people in Asia.
It was a Megadeth album name also, I believe.
Actually, I think it was.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So there you go. There's your assisted suicide corner for the morning. I will not
do it every morning, actually. If you do it well, do it over and over again. People like it.
Do it every segment.
What are you laughing at?
Do it every segment.
I'm fine with that.
All right. Okay, let's do birthdays on this.
Should you pull the plug? Your calls after 6.
All right. Bill Belichick.
What's the inheritance like? That matters.
Bill Belichick. How old is he, Greg?
Not old enough to kill. 61?
59. I don't think he's 60 yet.
62, correct.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Bill. Ellen Barkin of Sea of Love. What a great movie. Go out and... Brady has a beta.
56.
That's
Walker?
Incorrect, Walker.
I'm right around. I'm 55.
You know my Ellen Barkin link, right?
She's 60. No, but
I've told you this before. I dated a girl at camp whose dad is a billionaire.
Which camp?
I told you guys this.
Camp
Manitou at Radio Tennis Baseball Camp. And eventually that dad, had I stayed with that girl, had it worked out, not only would I not have to work ever again, I'd be like a trust fund baby,
yeah.
In-law, but she ended up, her dad ended up marrying Ellen Barkin as his third wife. And then it had a terrible divorce with Ellen Barkin. So Ellen Barkin could have been my mother and stepmother-in-law had I pursued this, but we were only 18 and 16, so we didn't.
Maybe there would have been like a Jane Seymour moment in, in Wedding Crashers,
Motorboat.
I could have just sat around my stepmom-in-law and just talked about the 80s.
Oh, awesome! You'd like that. What's Ellen Barkin's thoughts on euthanasia? Anyway,
Booker, Booker, get her on the show.
Happy birthday, Martin Lawrence is 49. The number one song on this date, 1988. Great song. It's Billy Ocean with Get Out of My Dreams and Into
it's
My
It's not
car.
Caribbean Queen, but it's pretty good. Don't stare at me with daggers, Walker.
I like the song. I can't stand it.
Racist. If Billy Ocean was from Fort McMurray, you'd be fine with this. If he was the fourth member of Blue Rodeo, you'd be okay. Not going to say anything now, are you? 5:56 is Brady
Just
Walker.
Just throw it a break.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I love it.
Trending now. Now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Marc-Andre Fleury's five-hole opens up tonight against Columbus. The Jays take the series opener in Minnesota. And Carlisle says the Leafs lost their mojo. Brady and Walker lost their mojo a long time ago, but they're still awesome. Okay, they're adequate, but they're still alive, baby. And that's what's trending now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Have an opinion and stick to it, unless you're wrong. Then just listen to what these guys have to say. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning. It's on your Wednesday. It's Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan 603. Andrew Walker, Greg Brady, and the run begins as of tonight. It's one of the best time spans, I think, in sports. I think you have the round of 64 and 32 in March Madness. I think October baseball is terrific. Sunday at the Masters and the Olympics, those are things that get the blood going. The first round of the NHL playoffs, Greg, I think does that for a lot of people, whether your team is in it or not. And that's what we see tonight.
The only frustrating thing is not being able to see it all. It all seems to happen so fast. There's so much hockey. There's such high quantity. The play is great. Everyone's healthy-ish, and it doesn't turn into this war of attrition. There's a reason that I lose interest sometimes by the semifinals, but especially after the first two rounds, because I think the second round can be a little underrated too. And there's fewer stories. Okay, people have decided what the narratives are, and also the teams are a lot more banged up. I like seeing these teams come in and be ready to go and play that intensity, and I'll be flicking all over the place tonight. You get your two games in the 7 o'clock hour: Montreal, Tampa, Columbus, Pittsburgh, and I'll try and squeeze in a little bit of Dallas Anaheim. First playoff game for the Dallas Stars in six springs. So, yeah.
So, on night one at least, barring overtime, and there's another part of the playoffs that I think people love, is the unlimited overtime.
Yep. You're not worried about
the shootout. Some doubles. You're going to get some triples.
Yep.
You should be able to watch everything tonight. Montreal and Tampa for game number one, a series that holds a lot of interest. Columbus at Pittsburgh at 7:30, so you can stagger with the intermissions, and then the late game, like you said, at 10, it's Anaheim and Dallas. I don't know how much intrigue that series holds, but it's one of those things. If we've learned anything over the years, is that of these eight first-round series, there's going to be an upset, right? Columbus is going to beat Pittsburgh, or Dallas is going to beat Anaheim, or Detroit's going to hang with Boston. Something funky is going to happen in round one. It's like clockwork. Every year.
Yep. Four seeds 2 years ago, one in the first round. We all remember in the Western Conference in 2006, every lower seed won. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yep.
That was the year Edmonton made their run to the final, but they all knocked off the 1, 2, 3, and 4, and all the seeds held in the Eastern Conference. So there's, and we talk about how difficult it is to repeat. The Chicago Blackhawks are trying to do something that no one's done since 97, 98. We had two teams go back to back in terms of playing each other in 08 and 09 with Pittsburgh and Detroit. But, the LA Kings got as close as anybody thought they had, anybody has in a lot of years last year, just even making the conference final. Usually the hangover knocks you out in round one. It knocked Boston out in round one. It knocked the Blackhawks out in round one. It knocked Pittsburgh out in round one in 2010.
So I got plenty of questions, on first round. Not a lot of answers either. And that's one of the biggest is, does anybody think that the Chicago Blackhawks can repeat? I mean, if you were doing a playoff draft last night or tonight, are you loading up on Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Marian Hossa? I don't know if you are. I think it might, the road might be much, much too difficult for Chicago.
And is it because of who it can't be because of who they have. They have almost an identical team to last year. There's a piece here,
a piece they're missing. They've brought Christopher Stieg back. Dave Bolin's gone out. The blue line is almost identical to what they had last year, and the forwards are as well. So it's not really about that they can't because of their composition. It's the road. It's who they'll have to squeeze through. They don't have a patty cake first rounder. Minnesota kind of was that for them last year. They were able to not go through some things, because of the tweak in the format for the playoffs. You're potentially playing the Blues, the Avs, and then one of the California teams in the conference final.
And Chicago doesn't get going until tomorrow. Two more questions here. The Montreal Canadiens, and we don't have to get into the, will Canadians support the only Canadian team? But it is a story that there's one team north of the 49th in the postseason. And I don't know if I'd say I'm rooting for the Montreal Canadiens, but anytime there's a playoff series in Canada, I think it holds some extra intrigue. It'll be the game I watch tonight.
And Boston-Montreal in the playoffs. I mean, since I was a little kid.
Seems every year,
You don't turn away from a Bruins-Canadians playoff series, whether it's back in the old Adams division, and it could be a best-of-five first round.
So it's Montreal-Tampa. Yeah. There's no Ben Bishop. How big is that in this series?
Don't you think it's pretty big?
It's huge.
If I told you it's Anders Lindback the rest of the way, you'll like the Canadians a lot more. Bishop, healthy, gives him a fighting chance. And that's the thing. If you're not healthy with an elbow injury, is really tricky. Because, God, I it's an important part of the body, but we're not talking a concussion. We're not talking a groin. You hear groin in goaltender, and you grimace, just like Leaf fans did, finding out that was the injury that kept Jonathan Bernie out before he came back. But I don't know with Tampa and their situation how long he's out. And we've talked about the pressure on Carey Price before. Nick Kiprios made this very cogent point on Hockey Central. Maybe it's not as much pressure, but it's a real different kind of pressure than Team Canada. The Canadiens fans have seen this movie so many times where they just haven't gotten the goaltending they've needed in the playoffs in the last several years. And really since they've had one run of Yaroslav Halak in the last 15 years where someone would say that's good enough goaltending to maybe win it. That's all they have.
Goaltending, it always is, and it continues to be a big conversation. We'll get into it today. What about Carey Price, a team that I find very intriguing that opens things up tonight? What about Marc-Andre Fleury, Dan Bylsma, Sidney Crosby, and the Pittsburgh Penguins game one against Columbus? And they have fallen a bit short in the playoffs for the last number of years. It is Brady and Walker, 609. Andrew Walker, Greg Brady. Let's get to our Wednesday morning six pack.
This is your Wednesday morning six pack. Six things you need to start your day.
All right, number six, Chad Johnson. How about this? Formerly Chad Ochocinco, and before that, Chad Johnson.
Same, yeah.
Yeah, works out with the Montreal Alouettes, and they say at this three-day minicamp that got underway yesterday, there's a very realistic chance that he will be with them when the season starts for real in June. He last appeared in the NFL during the 2011 season with the Patriots. He was in training camp with the Dolphins the following summer, but had his contract terminated after he had a misdemeanor charge.
Well, we're talking about it. I mean, it draws interest. I'm trying to think of the last really big name. David Boston played here briefly and then got cut. Ricky Williams, obviously, before that during his drug suspension from the NFL.
In terms of big names, yes. I mean, there are guys like, I mean, John Chick comes back up from the CFL to win a Grey Cup with the Riders last year, but he's not that, you know, polarizing name. Certainly.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest name since Williams, and that's well over a half decade ago from being here with the Argos.
Yeah, and is he going to be a superstar? I guarantee not. Can he play at the CFL level? Which I think in terms of skill, it's an underrated scenario. Like, it's not easy to come.
You're going to pay attention to how he does, and that's the biggest thing. There aren't too many CFL players you say that about that aren't Canadian.
I think that's just about enough really CFL talk.
You knew it was
something
coming.
That could happen.
Knew it was coming. Number five, NHL draft lottery. Last night, the Florida Panthers, they are the mover. They win it. They leapfrogged the Buffalo Sabres, so not a good night for Buffalo. Although, I almost wonder if the Sabres get their guy anyway. I think the Sabres are taking a forward almost for sure. And I think Ekblad is the best player available in this draft if I was doing it today. So I don't think it's a terrible thing for Buffalo. But you got Florida 1, Buffalo 2, Edmonton 3, The Calgary Flames 4, the Islanders 5. Now, they have to decide whether they give that pick to the Buffalo Sabres as part of the Thomas Vanek deal. The Leafs pick 8, and the Ottawa Senators would have picked 10th, but they have to give their pick to Anaheim.
I mean, what would you do if you're the Islanders? I keep this pick, and I've heard a lot of people say it's a no-brainer to move it. You want to be in the McDavid hunt, but what kind of message are you sending? It's your last year before going to Brooklyn. I think you got to try and be competitive again for your base next year.
I think that keeping the pick sends a message to your fans that we don't plan on being bad next year. And who knows, maybe it blows up. Maybe it blows up in your face. But I think I'm with you. I think I keep this one.
Yeah, I do too.
Number 4, Randy Carlyle. His season-ending address yesterday with the Toronto Maple Leafs and the media. And I don't know what we expected. We didn't get any bombs. But if you were looking for answers, Randy Carlyle didn't have any. And to me, it was just another example of why he won't be here in a couple of weeks' time.
Well, I don't think this can work this way. And we've talked about what we think the Shanahan-Nonis dynamic can be or can't be. I talked to a couple people yesterday who say, it's real. Shanahan and Nonis have a good relationship. There is mutual respect there. There better be on behalf of Nonis if Shanahan's keeping him. So I don't think Carlyle, Andrew, can go to Shanahan and say, look, I didn't have the players. When I have the players, I can get results. When I don't, I can't. I don't think he can play that card.
No, me neither.
So
no, it's dead man walking. I almost just want to see it happen, though, right?
Don't
leave the axe. I know you over Randy Carlyle too long.
It's the modern day world, though. I think you owe him the respect of saying we've reviewed this for the last 7 days, 10 days. They're not going to sit Randy Carlyle there in late June and make the move. They'll do it probably by the end of the month.
Number 3. This is a topic we need to get into as the morning goes on. But the Raptors' regular season ends tonight in New York. Now everybody in action. Chicago's at Charlotte. Brooklyn's at Cleveland. Washington's at Boston. And everybody could really finish in a number of positions still. The Raptors are locked into that 4 or 3 seed. They will get the 3rd seed with the victory tonight. But do they want the 3rd seed? That is the question. Will they rest some players tonight in order to get a better first-round matchup or a potentially better second-round matchup?
Yeah, and so anyone who thinks the Knickerbockers are mailing it in, they went on the road, well, sort of on the road to Brooklyn last night, and they hammered Brooklyn.
They want to finish strong. Yeah.
How hard? They've won 3 straight. Phil Jackson's watching every move they make to make changes in the offseason. Does Brooklyn want to go down to number 6? Do they want to avoid the Bulls? Well, if they lose tonight and Washington wins, Wizards 5 seed, Nets 6 seed. It was something we didn't even talk about over the last 6 weeks of all this standing moving. So Toronto starts the later game at 8 o'clock
so
tonight.
They will know what they have to do or what they want to do.
So it's fascinating. Dwayne Casey has to keep his eye on the scoreboard. We know that much at least.
Number 2, NHL playoffs. As mentioned, 3 fronts. They begin tonight. Montreal, Tampa, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Anaheim, game 1. The number 1 thing you need to know, your first place Toronto Blue Jays. Get it done in chilly Minneapolis. 9-3 over the Twins. They were down 2-0 in this game. They scored 5 in the 6th, 4 more in the 9th to win it 9-3. Brett Laurie drives in 5, 14 more hits for the Blue Jays in this one. They turn to R.A. Dickey tonight. I really think it's a big start for Dickey. You're on the road against the Twins. It's a game you need to have, and he blew one against Houston. It's a game that you can't lose. Dickey right now has been probably the worst of their 5 starters. And he's supposed to be your ace. Got to win tonight.
Yeah, and you go again. Mike Pelfrey's had terrible starts. Minnesota's got very subpar starting pitching. So the opportunity's all there. And look, you've already got a comeback win on this trip. Although, this Chris Colabello, unbelievable story.
Good hitter.
Leading the American League in RBI. Nobody drafted him. He was playing like amateur ball for 5-6 years before ending up here. So, yeah, it's amazing. 6:15. Coming up, we'll talk about the draft lottery, where it goes for the Toronto Maple Leafs, staying in 8th, and as well, Jeremy Roenick next. His thoughts on the first round matchups, and what's it mean for an old rival of his, Brendan Shanahan, taking control of the Maple Leafs.
On our favorite new segment, it's back. It's Follow or Unfollow on Brady and Walker coming up.
Follow Jeremy Roenick.
Always the best sports talk on Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sundin to the line. Still has it. Lost it and picked it in. Will clear to center. And here's Roenick giving it to him over the body. Roenick for the puck. Roenick the shake. Bird!
get more moments like that in the next couple of weeks. Round one NHL playoffs begin tonight. Jeremy Rona coming up in just seconds. It is 6:24 on Brady and Walker. Quick reminder, follow us on Twitter for a chance to win Blue Jays tickets. Canada Day at Brady and Walker is the Twitter account.
We do follow or unfollow. We'll pick out something from Ryan Favreau's Twitter account in about 10 minutes. Like, I can't tease it better than that. Holy cow, this will be great. Joining us now on the line, 1,363 NHL games, scored 513 goals, and of course, a big, big time player in the playoffs when he needed to be for the Chicago Blackhawks and for the Philadelphia Flyers, a couple other teams in there as well. Jeremy Roenick from NBC Sports joins us on Brady and Walker. Every year, JR, we talk about tough first-round matchups, and there's a couple that are obvious this year, Chicago, St. Louis, San Jose, L.A., but from the beginning of time, two or three teams that are pretty damn good go out in the first round, right?
Yeah, without question, they do. And this year, I think, might be a little bit more extravagant this year because the parity is so good. I mean, there are literally, you know, probably 10 or 11 teams that you can sit here and say have a really good chance of winning a Stanley Cup. So, yes, there's going to be more than two quality teams going out in the first round, which it was, you know, I guess it's good and bad.
It's amazing to think that two of Chicago, St. Louis, San Jose, and L.A. are going to be sent packing after the first round. Which one of these organizations to you would you be the most disappointed if they bowed out in the first round?
Well, for me, it'll be Chicago because they are the defending Stanley Cup champions. You always like to see a team continue to display their dominance like Chicago has. So I'm going to go with the two teams that I played for. I mean, San Jose, I think they're primed and ready for a long playoff run. Their goaltending has been a little suspect, but for the most part, they have probably the deepest team they've had in a long time. So I see them moving on. If San Jose does not move on, I'd be very surprised.
Don't you feel that this time of year, San Jose seems to be the team that everybody talks about the most, just because they've been so good for so long, and as you know, they've never really gotten over that hump. I tend to think here in Canada we maybe throw a few too many stones at a pretty successful franchise, but you know the guys like, you know, Thornton and Marlowe, they want to win more than anybody. I mean, how do you see them stacking up this year, and how is it different?
Well, the pressure continues to mount with every year that passes and they don't reach the final. They've spent a lot of money. I think Doug Wilson has been more than fair and more than loyal to their core players. And it's time that their core players find a way to get over the hump. When the big goal is needed, when the big play is needed, when the big save is needed, they have to find a way to do what's been expected of them. And yes, you're right. They are the one team that has expectations as high as anyone, with the exception of Pittsburgh. So... I know Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau don't want to be remembered as non-playoff performers or guys that never won the cup. You know, some of the best players that never won the cup. So they want it as much, if not more, than anybody.
Yeah, and I wonder about that because I think about your Chicago team that ran into Pittsburgh in 92, but you made the final. And I know it's not the same as winning. I know that. But, God, it's sort of like... Imagine playing your whole NFL career and you don't go to the Super Bowl as opposed to going and just falling short. Well, of course it hurts to lose there, but God, you'd rather go than not go. So we're like that here in Toronto. I think there's Leaf fans that feel, oh God, we got to win the cup someday. And then it's just get me to the final and I'll know what it feels like. Well, just do that.
Exactly. Well, I've had that conversation with Keith Tkachuk many times. Mm-hmm. You know, Keith Tkachuk, you know, arguably one of the best goal scorers that never even made it to the finals. And, you know, I never won the cup. I've been to the finals, but never won it. So we have to live with that kind of hanging over our heads, which, you know, when you talk about Hall of Fame and all that stuff comes into play. And, you know, that's kind of like the last hurrah for us athletes. But, it's a measuring stick. It's a measuring stick of your career. I don't care who you are. It has a big part in it.
Jeremy Roenick's kind enough to join us. NBC coverage kicks off tonight, of course. Lots of games on CNBC as well and NBC Sports Network on the main network, obviously, on the weekends, and they'll have the final. You know Toronto really well. You've traveled here. You've worked here.
I love Toronto.
Yeah, we know, and Toronto loves you back. But we'd ask you this. You watched Brendan Shanahan yesterday. What were your observations of of the pressure that's there. I mean, we are talking about it, to me, it's like becoming GM of the Lakers or the next guy that's going to take over for Bill Belichick in New England. There's massive pressure, and we saw it crack Brian Burke a little bit, who's a pretty tough guy to crack. And with Brendan Shanahan, do you think he knows everything that he's getting into here?
No, but I think he's willing to learn, and I think he's willing to take the beating in order to get there. You know, I think the job that he has now might be just as high pressure as the job that he had before, and laying out suspensions and fines and really taking a beating by owners, GMs, and players and fans. That's not a illustrious job that he had before. But first, you know, I got to say, I'm really disappointed that there's only one Canadian team in the playoffs. That really disappoints me because of the hockey and the love that's up there. And I think it's up to guys like Shanny to start upping the bar a little bit and start making the players way more accountable for the way that they're playing on the ice, with ice time, with minor league stints, with you know, more face-to-face in front meetings, and you know, just harder practices. I think these teams can't continue to accept mediocrity, and with the Toronto Maple Leafs giving up an average of 36 shots a game defensively, and you have a guy like Dion Phaneuf who just signed a $7 million contract, that's just unacceptable in my opinion. And I think Brendan Shanahan really has to start laying the law down and making these guys that are making a lot of money and have a lot of expectations on them stop making excuses and stop talking about slumps and I can't, you know, I'm fighting my confidence, and just get the job done, or don't put them on the ice.
Jeremy Roenick joins us on Brady and Walker. I think for a lot of people, the Chicago-St. Louis series holds the most intrigue in the first round. I mean, you go back to those, and you played in some of those. There's Norris Division Series. Not that the era was better, but man, what a rivalry that was. And it feels like it's been a long time since both teams have been on an upswing, right?
It's definitely, when you look at the two teams matched up next to each other, it to me, I get, I get the chills. I get the goosebumps with excitement. Then again, yes, you are right. It is not the same, the same bullying, the same war-like atmosphere that we had back in the late 80s, early 90s, where, we had days like the St. Patrick's Day Massacre, which was one of the, one of the most fight-filled, roughest, disgusting games I've ever been a part of. You're not going to have that, but you're going to have, very tight checking, very hard hitting, just not a friendly rivalry or friendly series. So, and both teams have been awful towards the end of the season. So it's up to them to see who's able to turn it on at the right time.
I'm glad you said that. I want to bring that back to Phaneuf and just ask about your perception of him as a player. He's let's forget the paycheck for one sec. It's hard to. I know that, and we don't forget it sometimes here, but he's being asked on an inferior team. We're not 100% sure they're being coached the right way, and they're saying play 26 minutes and play PP1 and play PK1 and play tons of even strength minutes against the other team's best line. That's probably not who he is. They're trying to treat him here, in my estimation, JR, like Shea Weber. And of course he's not Shea Weber.
Because,
don't ask him to be Shea Weber.
Else.
Yes.
I mean, Franzen looks like he's skating in a sandbox every single night. He can't keep up with the league today. They get into trouble with their defensive liabilities up front. You have forwards that don't work hard enough to come back and help their defense and let them out to dry. And Dion Phaneuf is a very, very good hockey player. He's a good defenseman. I wouldn't call him a great defenseman, but he's mean. He has the ability to control the power play and play well, especially in front of the net. I think his expectations of what he can do might be a little high, but he's a competitor like no other. I think he has that grind and that compete level that you want in a captain, but I think they need more to support him defensively, not only on the blue line, but up front. They have to make more of a commitment as a forward unit to play like Boston does, like LA does.
Yeah.
And they don't do that.
Jeremy Roenick joining us on Brady and Walker. Lots of thoughts from JR. You'll see him. We'll talk to him lots, and you'll see him lots on NBC. And their coverage starting tonight, as we mentioned, three games, Montreal-Tampa, the one in the mix, and Anders Lindback who was pretty lousy as a starter for the Lightning, gets thrown back into the spotlight. First playoff game for the Lightning in 3 years since Game 7 against Boston in the conference finals way back when in 2011. It's time now for Brady and Walker's follow or unfollow.
Brady and Walker's follow or unfollow.
All right, so we take a Twitter account of one of the three of us, either at Fan590Walker, who I have blocked temporarily for a lot of pro-Detroit tweets. Just wrong. At RyanFabro590 or at BradyFan590. So we have Ryan Favreau in studio with us. And
what do you got?
Well, this is pretty interesting to us, I think. We found... You had a great time in Vancouver. You were front and center in Vancouver for the Olympics in 2010.
This is phenomenal.
You were hanging out with Nikki Yanofsky and the Bilodeau brothers and just everything. That was okay. You're there.
Yes.
You I still follow at @COT_all_updates. You're getting up-to-the-minute breaking news on all Canadian Olympic team events at the Vancouver 2010 Olympic Winter Games.
Oh my God.
You are a patriot, sir.
Clean it out.
Yeah,
you're clean right. out your account.
There's been two Olympics. Two since that happened.
I don't know, but that's something you added like years ago and you don't see anything, so you don't know it's there.
Yeah, what are you, like hoarders? It's like a show on TLC. Twitter hoarders.
Okay, well, easily I will unfollow that right now. It's very stupid of me.
They haven't tweeted in 4 years and 2 months. Here's the last tweet. Members of the 2010 Canadian Olympic team will be returning home to Toronto on Monday, March 1st, 2010.
Well, I have no excuse, but hey, we have an Olympic athlete coming up next on the show, so what a segue. Look at that.
That was not even on purpose.
Yeah. And that's the thing. There was nothing egregious about. We didn't think, well, he's getting no value from. There aren't terrifying pictures of children in bandages going out for Halloween like on your accounts, Walker.
I'm still following at terrifying pics.
I have had way more nightmares in the last 8 days than I had before.
Still to come. Best and worst. We take a look back at major leagues. That was pretty much the only sport last night. We'll give you best player, worst player, best win, worst loss.
We will. And Jan Hudik, Canadian alpine skier, joins us next.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Keep it here for more Brady and Walker. Only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
6:44, good morning. Brady and Walker, it's Andrew Walker and Greg Brady on your Wednesday. Another chance for the Blue Jays to move another game further from the pack in the AL East. Been a pretty good start. Tonight, R.A. Dickey on the Hill, 8:10, is your first pitch in Minnesota. Hopefully it's not as cold as last night was, a 9-3 win over the Twins. Still to come, we will talk about that game. Munenori Kawasaki back up, and he gets the offense rolling, of all people. Best and worst still to come as well. Yeah. But first, we take a look at... Boy, I look back, I suppose, at what was a fantastic Olympic Games in Korea.
Yeah.
In Sochi.
Yeah. Jan Hudak won the bronze medal in the giant slalom. It's Canada's first alpine medal from a male in over 20 years.
Yeah, Eddie Podavinsky. We all remember that 20 years ago, and he was the latest. Maybe the most... What would you say, the most surprising medal of the games for Canada?
I think he'd overcome, safe to say, Andrew, the most physical adversity
yeah.
to win a medal. I think that yeah. that's the way to put it succinctly.
Jan Hudak joins us now on Brady and Walker, and I'll ask you this, Jan. It was such a glorious medal for Canada, and you're on such an emotional high. How do you deal with it now? I mean, everybody's paying attention to the Olympics, and maybe now the interest drops off, but in terms of you getting back into the country, getting back on your feet, so to speak.
That's the thing. I don't know if I've regained any footing or composure yet. I've just been flying by the seat of my pants for the last couple weeks, and haven't stopped since the games. But it's a good busy, and it's it's important to kind of keep that momentum going and the excitement. And you know, I didn't realize the scope of the games or what it meant to people until I actually came home and started kind of doing the tour and talking to people across the country. It's just been amazing to see, you know, the support of Canadians and really who it's touched, like people who you'd never think, you know, don't watch sports or don't normally watch skiing ever or ski. are recognizing me in the street, so it's kind of funny that way. But it's going to be important to keep that momentum building, and it's something that's motivating me to continue skiing as well for the next few years.
Yeah, that's great news. Jan Hudaker, guest on Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And we talked to you just afterwards in Sochi, and yeah, you're right. It was probably all a whirlwind. You're still there and contemplating, you know, getting through the rest of the games and getting back. But to win the first medal in alpine skiing in 20 years, I mean, I grew up watching the crazy Canucks every Saturday on CBC, so I knew Reed and Podborski and Brooker and then the later generation with Brian Stemmel. So that's something, you know, it's coming back to that. And I hope you realize, and you did probably when you got back on this side, that you generated a lot of energy for young skiers who just didn't for a while they always had role models, but they didn't have anybody they could look at and say, see, he or she accomplished this.
Totally. And it's a pretty, pretty humbling feeling. And actually it's funny because Todd, last night we had a little reception at Shangri-La in Toronto, and Brian Stemmel and Todd Brooker and a bunch of old skiers were there to say hi and congrats and shared a glass of wine. So it was just amazing to, you know, to do the selfie thing, take a couple selfies and with the medal, but with a couple generations of incredible Canadian skiers. And it's just, to be in that group now is pretty humbling, and, you know, I couldn't be more proud.
There's a large faction of Canadians, I think, Jan, that they really get into the two and a half weeks of the Olympics, and then it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, and I'm always fascinated, especially, you know, spending a lot of time in Calgary, of the struggle of these Olympic athletes. And it doesn't end for you guys in terms of you need funding, you need sponsorship, and you know, no matter how much success you had in Sochi, kind of the battle now begins fresh, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, the guy that's sitting on his couch somewhere in New Brunswick, maybe he just watches the Olympics. I mean, you know, a lot of people think we start training 6 months out, once every 3 years, every 4 years, and just try and get it all done for the Olympics. But, you know, unfortunately, the stigma of amateur sport is exactly that, amateur, but it's really professional athletes competing against athletes from around the world that have been treated and paid like professional athletes since they were 18 years old. So, you know, for us, for a lot of Canadian athletes that are competing against athletes like that, but still are, you know, home, have a job, have to do all this other stuff to make ends meet, to have the opportunity to represent their country is a little disheartening. But, you know, in some ways it's getting better. But at the same time, exactly like you said, I mean, it's, you know, as a nation, we need to pull our socks up in between the games and support the athletes on the journey there, because that's really where it starts. It starts 4 years out, 8 years out, and the development is a long process. I mean, I'm 32 now, and I've been racing the World Cup since I was 21. So it doesn't happen overnight, and you know, you need to have support.
How do you handle the travel? I think, like anything, if we travel for work in the media or athletes travel, it's you love it early on. You love it before you have kids, and you think it's fantastic, and you're all over the place. So it's Finland, Australia, Switzerland, Italy, some really exotic places, and then after a couple of years, it gets to be similar, and it gets to be a grind. And you love the event, you love the excitement and the newness of it, but it's you're on the treadmill a little bit. It's like a band on tour, right?
Totally. I mean, you talk to a band, and they love performing on stage. Do they love packing everything up every night and sitting in a van and driving 18 hours? I mean, you know, sometimes maybe or maybe not. I mean, depends on the company that you keep. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, like we said earlier, it's a professional sport. It's a job. And you get on that train, you get on that bus, you get on that plane, and you're heading to the next place. And it does start looking all the same after a while. But, you know, it's really the passion and the love of what you're doing that gets you through that monotonous stuff that's kind of, that seems to be the same every day. And, you know, exactly like you said, I mean, I love traveling, but I don't necessarily love traveling for 5 weeks at a time. And I've got an 8-year-old in Calgary as well. So, and to be away basically all winter kind of sucks, but then I do get to spend lots of quality time with him in the summer. And, you know, you just have to take it as you go. And, you know, it's work at the end of the day, but pretty fun work for sure.
Well, the website, by the way, yanhudak.com, of course, Canada's bronze medalist in the Super G at Sochi. Stay in touch with us. We'll definitely talk before the fall and before the 14-15 season gets going and before you're headed overseas and certainly getting going on the in the fall season. Thanks for doing this today.
Thank you for having me, guys.
So there's Jan Hudak joining us on Brady and Walker. All right,
bronze medalist.
Yeah, and like we said, probably went through the most physical pain, certainly the most surgeries, okay? He certainly got under the knife more than any other Olympian. God.
They talk about, like, catcher's knees. Like, can you imagine a skier's knees? They're not even your knees, right? They're just pieces of metal.
Once they start talking to you and barking at you, let's do best and worst from last night in sports.
Best.
Kevin Durant.
And worst.
Kevin Better Line
with Brady and Walker.
Seems reasonable.
I thought
honestly.
I thought he was going to say Darian Durant, and I would have been very upset that he was labeled. It's a Grey Cup winning quarterback.
Or my favorite band, Durant.
That's not accurate.
Stop it. It's not.
Justin Durant.
So best and worst, where do you want to begin? Best, do you want best player, worst player? Do you want team
wins?
Well,
you know what? I'll go best win, and I'll go best wins, plural, from last night in the NBA. There's only two games. And I thought both of these games were quality wins. The Knicks knock off the Brooklyn Nets 109-98, and the Clippers get by Denver 117-105. Now, for the Knicks, I've been pretty impressed with them down the stretch in the sense that they're not making the playoffs because of their horrendous first half, but they've been playing out the string very hard. Mari Stoudemire yesterday says, we're back in the playoffs next year. There's no doubt about it. You know what? I'm kind of hesitant to not believe them. I think they will be back. Also, the Clippers, they're an exciting team. We saw them own the Raptors this season, and not very many teams did. They could still get the 2 seed in the West.
Worst loss, give it to the L.A. Angels of Anaheim. They lose 10-9 at home in 11 innings. And we talked about Mike Trout the other day. What more can he do? He was 3-for-6 again last night. Hit his fifth home run of the season. It's not even mid-April. He's hitting 317. And Albert Pujols right behind him was 0-for-5. How many 0-for-5s has Albert Pujols had in his career? But the bullpen blew up. Garrett Richards wasn't good. They're not getting any starting pitching, and they're 6-8. They're 4 games behind Oakland. Of course they can catch up, but they're 4th in the division, and they've been killed by bad Aprils the last 2 years, and they're having another one.
Our worst player last night, a look no further than the Blue Jays and the Twins, and yes, that Phil Hughes, who hasn't beaten anybody in his last 17 starts. So it felt like a Christmas miracle. It looked like Christmas. It felt like a Christmas miracle. They hadn't given up a run in the first 4 innings last night. Jays were down 2-0. But, of course, in the 6th inning, Phil Hughes rears his head. He didn't get an out in that inning. Gives up 8 hits, 4 runs, and a walk. Picks up the loss again as the Blue Jays do get to the Twins' right-hander.
All right, and best player, let's toss it Giancarlo Stanton's way. Everybody in baseball has known about Giancarlo Stanton for 3 or 4 years. And remember how...
Forgive me. I don't know. Explain him to me.
Quote-unquote unhappy, powerful, young, star right fielder. He's the one that was honestly probably pretty excited to get the likes of Mark Burley and, all the guys that they... Jose Reyes and all the guys that the Miami Marlins signed. And then they kind of left him alone. But he's now surrounded by younger talent. They brought in Salty Lamacchia. He was 2-for-4, 5 RBI last night. He has more RBI at this point in the season than any person under 25 ever in Major League Baseball. He leads the National League with 21 RBI in just 17 games so far. So that's quite a pace.
That's a lot of RBI.
11-2.
Not RBIs, but RBI.
11-2, they ended up pounding Steven Strasburg last night, who's not exactly out to the best of starts either. 1-2 with a 6 ERA. Out of the gate is Steven Strasburg.
Blue Jays Twins tonight, game 2. It's R.A. Dickey. It's Mike Pelfrey. 8-10 is your first pitch. We'll have it right here, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
So coming up, we'll talk about the leash on Marc-Andre Fleury. If you'd told people Marc-Andre Fleury would get lifted after 2 playoff games last year against the Islanders, you'd have been shocked. Is it equally short this season?
And Dan Bylsma, is he under a lot of pressure as the head coach of the Penguins?
Lots of NHL playoff talk. It all kicks in tonight.